thought of Daria Vandenbergen actually playing that in the street, which I find amazing. Mm. Yeah. You should go out and do that in Los Angeles. Still, it's a classy way to introduce our next co-presenter on the team, and that happens to be whom, Emma Tinson?
I don't actually know. I haven't got the
list. Oh, my
in front
Lord.
Of me.
It's Sorry. The one and only editor extraordinaire.
Oh, of SFX magazine.
Richard Edwards, the man who indeed in his raves this week, specifically this month, said, "Thank you, James Gunn, for speaking out against Hollywood types who moan about the quantity of superhero movies. It's not big budget actioners that are a problem, it's bad movies."
Well, in that case, I'm really excited if Richard's here, because we get to talk films and all things exciting and sci-fi.
Exactly. And you can meet him in person.
I know, I can't
on
wait.
May the 6th. Quite literally, Emma Tinson and Jessica Ward, and probably Chloe as well, cannot wait to actually sort of see you in person, Richard.
Honestly, Richard, when we eventually meet you, you're going to have to tell us everything
Richard!
Exciting about SFX magazine.
And it's a week after, this 20 years the magazine has been published.
It's the same age as me next month.
It could have quite literally been SFX and Emma Tinson, one and the same.
You know what? You could just, next issue, just plaster my face on the front of the magazine. You know, everyone knows who I am. It's fantastic. Yeah.
It's a thought he may not have considered. Anyway.
No, it's a good pitch.
Yeah, I think I did that well.
Speaking of, did you ever manage to connect with Annette Andre, by the way, Richard?
We did, yes. Oh. And we did our Afterlife column on her, where she talks about...
I must have missed it, because I don't know. I'll have to go through my back issues and sort that thing through, because I thought we'd actually progress that. Next week, she's going to be talking about her 6-year relationship with a bear.
Which is going to be really interesting.
I can't compete with that.
We're all very excited to hear it.
You know, Tara Bennett one week, Annette Andre and Richard Edwards on another one. It's astounding. Anyway, moving on. Emma, over to you. I take it you're probably going to be just a wee bit excited about Avengers Age of Ultron.
I'm really excited. I'm actually going to see it tomorrow in IMAX in Sheffield. So Ooh. I'm going all the way to Sheffield for the first time, which will be exciting, but not as exciting as the film, of course. So I wanted to know, Richard, have you seen it already? Have you had like a secret press pass or something?
I haven't yet. I mean, there have been screenings, but I haven't been myself yet, so I will be going as soon as I can. But yeah, it all looks very exciting, and I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I've watched the trailer several times, and it looks fantastic cinematically. The slow motion shot of all of the Avengers sort of running through that forest, it looks really good, and I think it hopefully should be better than the last one. Not that the last one was bad, the last one was amazing, but just keep getting better and better.
Slightly different tonally, I think it's going to be a little bit darker than the last one.
Mm.
So it's not going to be exactly the same kind of movie, but yeah, I think it's going to be good. I mean, I think Joss Whedon knows what he's doing, and also Marvel really know what they're doing now. I mean, it's quite a while since they've made a not good movie, you know, but they're just a really, really reliable studio. It's kind of like Pixar a few years ago.
Yeah, definitely. So is there anything else other than Avengers that you are excited for coming up in the near future?
There's Telefantasy Society, sorry.
Of course, everyone's excited.
I've passed the details on to Jessica Ward, who's currently looking through this little particular thing in terms of things to come. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Well, I mean, obviously the biggest thing this week has been the new Star Wars trailer, which isn't out. The film isn't out until December, but that's what everyone's been talking about, really. I mean, 2 minutes, the most debated 2 minutes on the internet, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think that J.J. Abrams is getting the right tone for Star Wars? I mean, what do we think? I mean, it's a line that I'll quote from Phil Dennis, who joins us in about 20 minutes from now, a little bit less actually. J.J. Abrams was the person who simultaneously helped reboot the Star Trek franchise, but also he left at the right time to obviously, you know, allow it to breathe in its own way.
I think he's spot on for Star Wars. I mean, everything just seems right. I mean, this is a guy who's a massive Star Wars fan anyway, gets it. And everything, all the language they've used, like going back using old props and sets rather than making everything on computers, getting Han Solo and Luke Skywalker back, just everything about the feel of it just feels right. And in a way that the prequel movie didn't. So I've got a really, you know, I've got a really good feeling about this, to sort of riff on Star Wars.
I like what you did there. Yeah, Chloe, of course, not necessarily being a science fiction aficionado, but being a rock chick in all sorts of ways, much like Kat is, what are your thoughts on this sort of upcoming thing? Or do you think, I just don't understand this at all?
No, Star Wars, I can't wait for. I love Star Wars.
Your favourite Star Wars character?
Well, that's put me on the spot.
Well, it has, actually.
There's so many
of them
to choose from.
Right. I think C-3PO is funny.
C-3PO. Okay, okay.
R2-D2's better.
They come as a pair, so it's
R2-D2's sarcastic and funny, and even though he didn't speak anything that's comprehensible. Brilliant.
Doesn't speak anything that can't speak. I always found that was, you see, that was the thing that just lost it for me. I thought, how can people understand what he's talking about? It's just bleeps and whistles and so on.
It's the tone of the bleeps and whistles.
But you see, Klingon.
He's very sarcastic. Yeah.
Mm, he's cheeky. Sassy.
He's a cheeky
droid. Sassy robot.
Oh, Kat, any thoughts on the...
Yeah, I love the idea of the new Star Wars movie, actually. Mm-hmm. I think what I particularly like is the idea of bringing back the characters, the original characters, in the guise that they are now. And, of course, I like the idea also of not being so digital and going back to the original sets that you said there. So that's one to watch, I think, Richard, in my view.
Yeah, definitely.
I think most of the world will be there, I think. It's,
Most of the free world, anyway. We can't speak about North
Korea. That was a generalisation.
Although I'm sure of North Korea, they might sort of sneak in a couple of sort of things. Sorry, you know, if you happen to be accessing this from some part of North Korea, welcome. You know, that's the important thing. If we can have Russian Dutch pianists from Los Angeles, I think, you know, it's perfectly acceptable to have the occasional North. And indeed, let's give another shout out to Nick's friends from Norwich.
Yes, Barry and Jackie Hooks listening in today, and regular listeners now.
Isn't this nice? Barry and Jackie, that's... And just for you as well, Richard. It's fantastic. It's
Norwich, it's where all the best people come.
Right, okay. I won't progress that at all. Richard, very briefly, any teasers that you can provide for us in terms of the upcoming 20th anniversary edition of SFX magazine?
It's a big issue. I mean, it's got a very, very nice deluxe cover, and we've got a supplement about 20 years of SFX and science fiction, so basically looking back over the last 20 years, but through the eyes of SFX. It's sort of our history entwined with science fiction, how that's evolved. Basically going from The X-Files and Tank Girl, which is our very first cover, all the way through to today. And we've actually, Laurie Petty, who plays Tank Girl and was our very first cover star, has actually done a little introduction for us, which is very cool. And then there's all the usual sort of cool sci-fi bits and pieces. We've got an exclusive on the new Doctor Who series, which is out later this year, and Tomorrowland, the new George Clooney film, M. Night Shyamalan, Sixth Sense director, talking about his hero's inspirations. And very excitingly, we have a competition where you can win a Dalek.
Quite literally, unmissable.
An actual bronze
life
Dalek,
size,
as in the new series, life size.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. I might have to enter that competition.
And shameless plug that I will give once again for Telefantasy and Society, because actually Emma did a wonderful sort of video for the whole thing last week. It featured some bloke, I don't know who the heck he was actually, had a sort of image of Major Barrett Roddenberry as the original number one in the Star Trek The Cage series in the background. Which
in the pilot,
exactly. That was quite nice. But we can also say that Telefantasy and Society will feature the entire ragtag fleet. Yes, the whole Battlestar Galactica models will be on show in the M-Tech building.
Very exciting.
And you have a chance to participate in the Oculus Rift scenario, Richard. The Oculus Rift, which gives a whole new meaning to immersive gaming technology.
Have you ever had a go on one?
No, you will have a chance to.
I've done it.
You've done it. Well, you'd have a chance to have another go on it then.
That's it. I would love to have another go. It was brilliant.
The Oculus. In fact, we're just thinking about a sort of theme for the SF thing, and Mark Aldridge, who'll be coming on with that whole thing, said, I mean, I suggested, well, use the next generation of Star Trek one. Oh, no, that was Oculus Rift 1. We've moved on to Oculus Rift 3 now. Oh! As ever, things sort of improve.
So we're on the J.J. Abrams Star Trek now.
Well, it's, who knows? But the last two questions are known by Chloe.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this afternoon?
Lovely, thank you.
And will you be joining us again?
Oh, yeah, I would have thought so.
Oh. There's a couple of mentions for our Facebook fans. Penny Evans has tuned in. She'd like to say, hey, Alex Levchuk and gals.
Aww.
Hi. Obviously, Nick getting well in touch with his female sponsor. Vancouver is now happening, Chloe. And she's going to be there from the end of June. Speaking of original characters, X-Files is filming there. She'd be quite nice to meet David Duchovny again. And she's also going from, she's been accompanied by somebody from Phoenix, Arizona, who's also training to be an actress. We might feature on the show, if we're that sort of kind of thing. Charlotte Fortune is also coming up very shortly. Did you ask him the second question, Chloe?
I did.
No, did he say yes?
I did, yes.
It would be rude not to.
I know, it's very confusing. You know, we've been time jumping all over the place, and I think combining Mozart and Handel in the same show was always going to be a bit of a challenge, but still, I'll give a little plug as well. Is Tara Bennett in the 20th anniversary edition?
Oh, yes, of course she is. We couldn't have an issue without Tara. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, she's become, in so many ways, an intrinsic part, much as yourself, Richard, of course, of the Midwick Drivers. Emma will attest to, really. So
yes,
there we
definitely,
are. Fantastic. Here's Charlotte Fortune. Magic in a wonderful cover way, Charlotte Fortune. Only love can break your heart. Well, I don't know. You could obviously use some sort of electromagnetic spectrum as well. Penny Evans would like to say, my favourite Star Wars character was Han Solo. Only reason she'll be watching the new movie. Charlotte, where are you? What's going on there? Are you scuba diving again, my girl? I know we've done pieces when you've been sort of hurling yourself out of an aeroplane, but what are you doing?
Sorry, Alex. Yes. I've just rushed back home with a massive box because I need to repack some trees that I don't want anymore.
Isn't that always the way?
In a massive box. So I'm a bit flustered. Sorry, I didn't realise the time.
Well,
hello. Good evening, everyone.
And that's why Charlotte has always been the quintessential Cinderella and ace contributor to the programme in so many marvellous ways, etc. So welcome along to that holiday. Now, it's fair to say, Emma, last Thursday, I read out from Charlotte Fortune on air on the Thursday morning the fact that she was a bit miffed. She was a bit miffed about what she described as basically being, I mean, we only played a teeny smidgen of and we got the wrong title.
Shocking.
It was, we said it was supposed to be Bonerized. Not even Bonerized was a record label. It's something completely different from our whole sort of sequence there. But you did actually say we played a bit more than 20
seconds.
Yeah,
we definitely did play more than 20 seconds. And because it's such a fantastic song, of course. So.
Oh, thank you. I just know how long the song is, Alex. I've listened to it so many times. I was like, this song's 5 minutes long.
I'll give you the actual the email you sent in. Hi Alex, I listened in, but you cut the track. Sad emoticon, sad face, and I missed all the verses. Only playing 30 seconds. Triple exclamation mark. Mega sad face to that basis. And also, it's called Superheroes by Michael White and The Appearance, featuring Charlotte Fortunes.
You can't get that wrong, Alex. You said it's Bonerizing. Bonerizing by Charlotte.
Well, we had
I'll get told off.
We had Bonerized featuring Charlotte Fortune. Obviously, these things do happen.
If it's any consolation, we then did play it on the Thursday morning show.
Oh, I know. You did play a snippet. I listened in again. It was a bit better, but this evening will be the whole song.
Precisely,
know?
As promised.
People to buy it.
We say to Phil Lernis, you're a superhero, Phil. Hang tight and we'll be with you. But it's Charlotte's moment.
Oh, too funny.
Are you ready for this? Because it's not so much rock as more hard energy core. I mean, it's quite a difference from the previously played Charlotte Fortune singing Only Love Can Break Your Heart.
It's almost a completely different genre.
Is there a tree speaking in the background there? Have we got some sort of tree? Have we got an ent there? Have you got one of those? Are they saying sort of I am Groot? What's
the going bamboo on? Trees are getting involved. They're doing a little dance. It's called the bamboo dance.
The Bambi trees. I think, listen, Charlotte, would you like to introduce it yourself? Because it does feature your good self, and I could sort of muddle through the basis of Michael White and the appearance featuring Charlotte Fortune, but you'll do it so much better. Charlotte, go girl.
Woohoo! Hi everyone, this is Superheroes by Michael White and the appearance featuring myself, Charlotte Fortune.
Yay! Good for trees the world over.
Jessica Ward and Emma Tinson. We could tell you their superhero aliases, but then they'd have to stop saving the world.
Shaking their leaves now in a strange, bizarre, surreal manner. And I know, Charlotte, as indeed Chloe said, I bet you thought we cut it. No, it was a remix version. You got a little special filled in as I did.
Oh, that was funny. That was a special, effect,
yeah,
I guess.
A special effect in more ways than one, you know.
Jessica. Alex's special effect.
Wow, there we are. Jessica was almost spinning around her head. She was just so excited with the whole thing. It was amazing. So, anyway, Jessica, what did you make of this fantastic scenario by Charlotte Fortune? Of course, her latest number, Superheroes.
I quite enjoyed it, yeah. You've got a really nice voice, and just the whole production made me want to dance, and so it was good.
Yeah, it seems quite summery, isn't it?
It definitely is summery, actually, yeah.
Chloe, what did you make of the production?
Well, it's like nothing I've ever heard on Siren before. Yeah. It's quite exciting to have something a bit more.
There you have it. It's like nothing Chloe Baker's ever heard on Siren before. Probably the people who come in at 9 o'clock might have something to do with that as they go into the groundworks team. But never mind. Anyway, there's Emma.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. And the fact that you can change your sort of genre of music so amazingly and be good at both different genres, it's fantastic. And I think it's a really catchy song as well. It's really good and something that make you want to get up and go clubbing. So it's fantastic.
Yes.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
My number one supporters there.
Look,
Sean. I'm very
honoured. How long have we worked together and we've been promoting your cause? I mean, we go back a wee while.
Oh, my gosh.
Is it like seven, eight years? It's astounding. Yeah,
wow.
Elizabeth, there you are. Anyway, and Kat?
I loved it. Really summery, wasn't it? You know, you can't beat a bit of a dance tune.
Back to the streets of Cambridge and say,
did you all feel like superheroes?
We did indeed.
Empowered. Completely empowered.
Yes, empowered.
That's the way forward. Nick, did you feel like a superhero?
Well, I am one, actually.
There you are, you see.
Another good answer.
Talking. The special effect was you.
Exactly, it's all there. Splendid. Okay, last two questions for Charlotte. After reminding people, people can go to iTunes and actually purchase Superheroes featuring Charlotte Fortune. You'll get the whole details in terms of that sort of stuff there. Emma, go for it.
Yes, so first of all, go on overhead to iTunes and download that song because it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And also, Charlotte, have you enjoyed your time on the midweek drive today?
Of course I have. I've enjoyed talking to you all in a brief moment.
Penny Evans, our Buxton correspondent, says, Charlotte, it was a great song. I'm not into superheroes myself, but loved your song.
Aww, sweet.
Yay, thank so you. Next one is...
Fantastic. Yes, will you be joining us again on the show anytime soon?
I hope so. It's up to Alex.
Yay.
I think so. I think
I might have ruined everything if you don't like the song.
No. As if that was going to happen. You know, we've got various other London jaunts to do. It'll all work together. Even though it has to be said, Phil Leonis is still devastated. You never managed to actually connect with him when you were in Los Angeles.
It.
Yeah, well.
No.
Hey-ho. Pebbled upon the sand. Now you're lying here in my hand. How many years have you been here? Yourself be. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can have everything if you let yourself be. You can never just let yourself be. Happiness runs in a circular motion. We're all connected. Before we go to The Man in Los Angeles, Penny Evans would just like to plug her gig in May the 4th time. May the 4th be with you, Star Wars Day. No, I won't say that.
I was
again.
Literally just about to say that.
It's a classic. It's at the Hydro, Buxton, Derbyshire, and she's been singing open mic nights there, and she's inviting us all to go there May the 4th.
Aww.
Splendid. Even Phil Leonis, perhaps. Phil Leonis, welcome to the programme. Lots of time to sort of give us your views on the whole sort of sequence and indeed why cycling in Los Angeles is perhaps a bit of a questionable scenario or your thoughts on Handel, Mozart or anything else. Good morning, Phil.
Oh, I'm glad you brought up the bicycling because I couldn't read that note. I've been staring. I've been scratching off notes because, as far as I know, actually the show ended a few moments ago, so I don't want to take up much of your time. And so I've been trying to figure out what are the most important things I had to get to, and I couldn't read that. But yes, it's bicycling. I wrote bicycling, living car free, because again, Los Angeles has this reputation that does not bear any resemblance to truth. And the reason it has this reputation is because it's a reputation created by people like me who make movies and television shows and who don't travel outside a very small circle. So it's 20,000 people, basically, in the entertainment industry who tell the rest of the world what Los Angeles is like, and it never bears any reality whatsoever.
But Phil,
it's shocking to people to find out that not only do more people live car-free, percentage-wise, in Los Angeles than in any other major U.S. city, but we're also one of the top 15 cities in terms of number of pedestrians. Percentage, not just numbers, because of course we've got a huge population, but percentage of pedestrians and bicyclists, we're in the top 15.
But there are lies, damn lies, and statistics, Phil, and I still believe the streets of San Francisco always have Carl Malden doing the stuff in there. Enough of me. There's five fantastic folk in the studio, plus a whole heap of other things. Whom do you wish to go to, Phil?
Well, not yet. First of all, when I misquoted, I get the opportunity to set the record straight. You were way too kind about what I said about J.J. Abrams.
Mm.
I said about J.J. Abrams that the moment he left Star Trek to go to Star Wars, he saved two franchises at the same time. He saved Star Trek by agreeing not to do any more of it because he was doing everything he could to destroy it, and he saved Star Wars by agreeing to do it because he would be excellent for Star Wars.
Well, there we have it.
That's what I said. Not quite the same message as
No, I did paraphrase it, admittedly, but, you know, it was speeded delivery. That's the important thing.
Hey, did Alana, I was listening to Alana Rain, although it was funny, so she didn't know that you were going to call, is that right? Is that what was happening?
Well, Well, that's pretty much the gist we got, really. You know, the fact. I'd, okay. Yeah. Anyway, it was a nice
wake-up. But she was good. But I've been eager. Like, next time she's on, you need to quiz her about her experience taking an acting class, because you know Phil Lernis, and yes, Phil Lernis is referring to himself in third person right now. Phil Lernis has begun to teach an acting class, and it's not just for actors, it's also for filmmakers, because it's very important for directors and writers and producers to experience not only what an actor goes through in preparing, but how best to communicate to an actor so that they have what they need to do their best work. In fact, I think that an acting class is valuable for anyone in any field, but especially for anyone creative. Nevertheless, so Alana's taking this acting class, and two things are extraordinary about it. One is she's a genuine talent. She's really gifted. She could be a great working actress if she wanted to. I mean, she does excellent work. However, to get to that excellent work, man, she has to get past so much judgment. She has so much judgment for the characters she's assigned and for the process of it. And it's amazing because, of course, she's a woman of such thoughtfulness and compassion. So it's fascinating. I just wanted to share some tales out of school, literally.
They gripped those sort of thorns, or indeed nuggets of golden news, with the wonderful sort of joy that they have. I'm a little bit sort of hesitant here to actually reveal. On May the 13th, the Midweek Drive will be featuring in the studio a professional magician. Yes. David Fox is coming in. There will be magic. And he is quite phenomenal, because Ed and myself are over at the Newark Showground. We met up with this chap called David Fox, and he's already the winner of the 2014 Wedding Industry Exports Award, the most popular magician. And he will be here in the studio on May the 13th. A week after Telefantasy and Society.
Very exciting.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. No, we need to talk about this. But anyway, I'm sure the magician is good. But he can't pull off what you already did, which was, you know, make half of my 30-minute appearance disappear.
No. Which is a tragedy,
Can we talk about the Telefantasy? Well, no, I mean, I'm rushing through this. Of course, I'm not just a contributor to the Midweek Drive. I'm an avid listener to the Midweek Drive, so there's always so much I want to talk about. That's the disappointment. If I didn't love the show, it wouldn't be, or if I was just coming on to talk about what I've got going on, then I wouldn't mind, but I love the show so much. But can we talk about the Telefantasy? What's the status of it? I got the link that you shared. So it's all systems go, all Thunderbirds are go for the Telefantasy concert?
Yes, is the short answer, and that's what I'll stay with. Yes. If you're listening to this...
What would we say if we wanted an exciting answer that would continue to whip up the local enthusiasm?
It's the most exciting event relating to Telefantasy you could ever wish to have in Lincoln, and it's essential that you sign up and register by simply sending an email to me at alewczuk@lincoln.ac.uk. That's alewczuk@lincoln.ac.uk. And tickets for students are free!
Woohoo! And it's going to be more amazing now, because the location has changed.
To the M-Tech as opposed to the engine shed, which sounds better, actually.
Yes.
So there we are. It'll be quite literally magical. Carry on.
But I liked the engine shed. I liked with the previous location. It kind of lent an era of steampunk to it, which I kind of was looking forward to.
We would have liked it too, but obviously the ticket-buying public decided not to, and that's the reason we had challenges with respect to that. But, you know, nil desperandum, onwards ever onwards, happiness will without, as Donovan said. Where do you want to go, Phil? You've got another 9 minutes before we have to hand over to Rebecca and Siren Lifestyle.
I don't know. Why don't people ask me questions?
Good point. Yeah, okay.
How's the Lady Killers going?
You're not attending the free official line that's in Los Angeles tomorrow? Has he not invited you, Emma?
No. I was expecting a plane ticket and everything, of course.
It is a preview screening for industry. So that we can make sure that we're done. I mean, we already know that there are some more changes. I have a handful of shots that we're still working on. But we're at the point where we need to see and hear the film with a full audience. Obviously, we had tested it with small groups before when we were making decisions about, you know, creative choices in terms of content. But now we're at the point where technically we really need to test test to see how this film looks and sounds when it's playing before a full house, because you'd be surprised how much the sound is different when there are bodies in the seats, as opposed to playing just in a big cavernous theater. So, yeah, that's what we're doing, and we're also hoping that many good ideas will come out of this about how to position the film, how to talk about it, where to submit it, because it always feels good to make a film that no one has ever seen before or made before, but there's challenges with that every step of the way. How do you get a film like that financed when you can't say to someone, it's just like this movie, and that movie was successful? When you can't point to something as a previous example, it becomes very hard, obviously, to finance the film. It also creates, uncharted territory when making the film, but how do you market it? How do you sell it? Because the whole name of the game
of distribution and marketing is to
try to play on the memory bank of previous works.
Speaking, Phil, of obviously movies, etc., Emma, have you managed to work your way through The Truth Is Out There?
Not yet, because, well, I know Jess watched it in
over 6 months.
But in two parts, because it's quite a long film. But I feel like I should try and watch it all in one go. But at the moment, I haven't had
so many challenges.
Literally, have not had more than an hour to myself.
Superhero lines. You've got your cousin it approaches.
I know.
Lord knows.
So, but I am going to get on to watching that sometime soon. But
I totally agree that you ought to watch it in one sitting rather than in pieces, because in pieces the movie becomes about information then, and that was not what we were interested in. You know, we were interested in the fact that we all live in this information blizzard where we feel inundated by so many theories and so many facts and so many arguments all the time. How do we navigate that information blizzard and enjoy that navigation? And so that's what the film becomes about, and I feel that that's lost if people break it up into pieces. Then it just becomes about the topics. So.
Never mind, Jessica, there's always another time to watch it before. Chloe, any questions for yourself or Phil? Because you've been busily scrutinising your laptop there in terms of keeping up to date with things.
Yeah, I've been looking throughout the whole show. What out of all these films we've been talking about, Star Wars and the Avengers, what one are you most looking
Adam's
forward
family.
To? Adam's Family. Adam's Family. What one are you most looking forward to coming out?
What am I looking forward to coming out? Oh, there's actually a few films that are out right now that I somehow have missed and have been looking forward to. One is the science fiction film Ex Machina. Have you talked about that
on
the show?
Oh,
it's so good, honestly,
Phil. It is the best movie of 20. Even Richard Fitzwilliams gave it a full 2 thumbs up.
I thought I wasn't going to like it, but then I saw it and it was
amazing. Have you no faith in your friendly neighbourhood midweek drive host?
It was amazing, basically.
There's a horror film called It Follows.
Oh, I've seen that as well. That's good.
That everybody is raving about here. And see, it's challenging because these films are playing in very few places. So, and we're also in the time of year where I'm not attending industry screenings, so I have to actually seek them out. And then the third one is an independent film from David Zellner, I believe, called Kamiko, the Treasure Hunter. And it stars former Academy Award-nominated actress Rinko Kikuchi from Japan as a young woman who's somewhat of a shut-in. And her only entertainment is old VHS tapes. I won't give the circumstances to why she's a shut-in, but it's old VHS tapes. And she watches Fargo, and the Coen brothers' Fargo, and mistakes it for a documentary because English is not her first language, and she might have some peculiarities of the way she processes things. So she thinks that it's a documentary, and she, as she understands it, the treasure that gets buried in Fargo is still out there. So she comes to America in search of that treasure. So it becomes, ironically, a sequel to the Coen brothers' classic
it's
Fargo.
It's got meta-text, meta-narratives, and all sorts of things in there. Nick Elliott, ace rock photographer, would you like to ask Phil Ernest those last two questions?
Have you enjoyed our telephonic link today, Phil?
it was so brief, I don't even know if you can call it a telephonic ring.
Still,
I
mean, you've still had the longest slot on the show.
Exactly. Thank you.
Still the star.
Thank you, Emma. Exactly.
You know, it's not a competition. I would like to point that out. It's not a competition because I've already won. It's about what I... Look, I know I'm never going to get the amount of time on this show that I want. It's simply about getting...
Do you want to do another 25-hour marathon, Phil? Is that what you're itching for here?
It's simply about giving me the amount of time I deserve. And I think we all think that that's not
Phil,
the case.
Phil, maybe you should come on down to Lincoln, and then you can be in the studio for the whole show.
Exactly. Precisely.
That would be good.
Yeah. Or I'll just stay on the line for the lifestyle show that's coming up.
Can I then assume, Phil, that you won't be joining us again?
I'm just staying on the line till next week.
Good man,
yes,
good
of course,
man.
I wouldn't miss it.
Little heads up to tomorrow morning, in fact, it'll be 1 a.m. Los Angeles time. We're doing a piece with Professor David Crystal, OBE, leading English language and linguist expert, and Christy Ferguson, food psychologist, on explaining what makes us attached to our favourite cup or mug.
When you said food psychologist, the first thing that came to my mind was like a carrot in therapy or something.
as a vegetarian, Emma, you must wrestle with your conscience to say, peas, they don't have little legs to run away with.
Exactly.
How do you get on with them? It's such a roll from the whole system. That's a frightening thing. Thanks certainly to Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Arthur Weingarten, Ilana Rain, Daria van den Berken. Hopefully you'll be able to catch some of the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, Phil. Take Lily Holliman along. Be good. Richard Edwards, Charlotte Fortune, and of course Phil Linus. Thanks in the studio to Kat, to Nick Elliott, to Chloe Baker, Emma Tinson and Jessica Ward. I take it we've all been reasonably happy and content with what we've done today.
Indeed.
Yes. Siren Lifestyle is coming up after the news from the Sky News Centre. Do you know, Phil, we haven't even had a chance to play any Mike Dooley. It's been that kind of tight a programme. And next week, of course, you can look forward to, as Arthur Weingarten revealed, Annette Andre's 6-year relationship with a bear.
So excited for it. It's going to be epic.
And more Ilana Rain. That's it. That's a wrap. Take care. Keep on keeping on wherever you happen to be. Can we all say bye-bye? A one, a two, a three.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.